Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are here with us by your word and your spirit. So please open our minds, our hearts, and our ears to hear you speak this morning, that we might please you and bless others in all we say and do, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I've spent most of my working life teaching in various theological colleges. I've not spent much time working on the pastor staff of a church as a minister. About 30 years ago, I had a year working as the associate pastor of a church in Sydney. They called them back then the curate, the one responsible for the cure of souls. And one evening, I had the monthly church council meeting. And the pastor, as a kind of warm-up activity, said to us, turn to the person on your right and describe that person in one word. Well, to my left was Tim. I waited with bated breath, dynamic, charismatic, teacher. Yes, I began my working life as a high school teacher. I taught for 25 years in Bible colleges. Today, I teach and train preachers. So that was, yes, that's my profession. But that wasn't the question. It wasn't describe their job in one word. That's easy. Describe a job. He, she's a farmer, pharmacist, homemaker, doctor. That's easy. Describe the person in one word. What's their essential characteristic? That's tough, isn't it? Tim didn't know me all that well, and people are complex. I couldn't describe myself in one or two words. Let's try that over morning tea. Describe the one next to you in one word and see if you stay friends. How do you describe Jesus in one word or two? What's his essential characteristic? In the Gospels, he calls himself many things, all pictures. I am the door, the bread of life, the vine, the way to God. But again, that's all he does. That's what he does. What's his essential characteristic? Well, actually, he tells us. He says, I am gentle and lowly. My essential characteristic is gentleness. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're spending 3 weeks on three of the fruit of the Spirit. This week, gentleness. Now, as I thought about the fruit, it seems to me they kind of overlap. It's hard to make sharp distinctions between them. The first is love, and I think all the rest are just expressions of love. We saw last week patience, but someone who's patient is also full of kindness and goodness and gentleness. It's hard, I think, to distinguish them between them too much. Maybe with joy you can. I think you can be patient and kind and gentle and sad. I think there's lots of sad Christians, but that's next week. I want to think about gentleness. As I said last week, all these fruit have their foundation in God. Our God is a gentle God. And we know that because, as John says in his prologue to his gospel, no one has seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God, has made him known. Look at Jesus and see God. Now we hear this, we see this look at the end of chapter 11. It begins the famous invitation, come to me all. That's been the invitation for 2,000 years from Paul to Billy Graham, come to Jesus, all. It's both universal, global, and particular. Come to me all. I'll shut no one out who comes to Jesus. The door to our church is open all the time on Sunday morning. For those on Russell Street, come on in, open to all. It's general, but also it's particular. It's for a particular kind of person. Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. One criticism of the Christian faith is that it's a crutch. It's a crutch for cripples. For those who can't cope, those who are just kind of pathetic, who haven't got the gumption, just stand up and be a man, be a woman. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I think it's one criticism that is spot on. Jesus is a crutch for cripples. A hospital for the sick. A bed for the exhausted. Water for the parched. For those for whom the juice of life has run out and all that's left is the rind. For those who find life empty, disappointing, frustrating, hard. For those, at the end of the day, who are just plain tired. Just this week, a man rang me. I don't know him. He said he came to my church 2 weeks ago. I don't recall meeting him, but he rang me out of the blue. He got my number, rang out of the blue. In his 70s. With a son who's very sick and deeply depressed. I mean, dangerously depressed. He begged to meet me. He and his wife are at their wits' end. In tears, he said, can you meet me and my son this week? Let's get together on Thursday night. And we got together on Thursday night. What did I say to him? Where did I take him? I took him and his son to Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'm gentle and lowly, and you'll find rest for your soul. That's God. God said to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. David's most popular song said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He'll always forgive me and restore me. He's gentle and lowly to those weighed down. But that does not mean he is weak and inoffensive. 8 verses before he said those words, he said to the towns of Chorazin and Capernaum, who refused to believe despite his miracles, woe to you, Capernaum! Woe, Chorazin! Literally, go to hell! He is gentle with those who are weak and needy. He is firm and confronting with the arrogant and loveless and those who refuse, despite all the evidence, refuse to believe. And the gentle God gives birth to gentle Christians. When you look at the New Testament, it's striking how often gentleness appears in tandem with humility. I said last week, I think there are more than just 9 fruits. There are many more. I said, where's humility in this list? Well, here it is, I think. In gentleness. Gentleness is, if you like, the public face of humility. 2 Corinthians 10:1. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. The humble man or woman of God knows he or she is a cripple. Let me say, I think for most folk, even many in church, that's very hard. Many people, even in church, are successful, admired, respected, done well in their careers, been great parents, won awards, decent citizens, and that's all good. That's all good. I think I'm a bit like that, if I can say that in humility. I've got 4 great kids. I've been a Bible college principal. I've won an award. I wrote the Christian Book of the Year. I'm a good citizen. That's all good. But here's the catch. At the same time, if I'm honest with myself, I have to admit, I'm a cripple. We're financially wealthy, spiritually bankrupt. Physically in good health, spiritually sick and dying. In the eyes of the world, respected, admired, liked, not an enemy anywhere. In the eyes of God, apart from Jesus, full of guilt and shame, and unworthy to enter his presence. Now, the truth is, you can be both, of course. Successful, respected, well off, and at the same time, weak and crippled. But for many, the former is an insuperable barrier to the latter. Because in the world's eyes, I'm so successful, I can't admit that apart from Christ, I'm a failure. And that's terrifying. Because Jesus said, the meek will inherit the earth. The one who's meek and humble will be gentle. Let me say 3 things about Christian humility. First, it's restorative. One time, the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus caught in adultery and said to him, come and join us and write her off, stone her, finish her. And he wouldn't. He forgave her and said, just don't do it again. Later in Matthew's gospel, Matthew will quote Isaiah, who spoke of the Messiah, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. I've often spoken about one of my 4 kids, one of my daughters, who in her teenage years was having a tough time. She was depressed. She was sullen, incommunicative. To be frank, not always easy to love. I'd say each morning, good morning, I'd say, and she'd just walk on by, not even look at me. I found that hard and annoying. She was a bruised reed, a smoldering wick. Now, as a parent, there are 2 options. Option 1 is, 2 can play at that game. You ignore me, well, I can ignore you. That's called the break the reed, snuff out the flame approach. The other approach is to be gentle and patient and in humility choose to be ignored and keep on loving. I chose the first approach. My wife chose the second. Today, that smouldering wick, because of her mum, is a fire ablaze with love for Jesus and other people. As a parent, a partner, a church member, a workmate, my work is to restore and refresh. The gentle person has a soft word for the angry person. The gentle person, I think, is probably more of a listener than a talker when people come to them to be heard. The gentle person sees not the person as they are now, but as they could be by God's grace in the future. It's restorative. Second, it's not inconsistent with boldness. Jesus could be forthright. The Paul who wrote in chapter 5 of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is patience, said in chapter 1 about those who preach another gospel, let you be accursed. Go to hell. There's a time when the gentleman or woman will speak out boldly and strongly. Look, I can put up with dull sermons. I guess I preach a few. I can put up with uninspiring sermons. I can put up with vapid, innocuous, vague sermons, or those that are just stories. I can put up with that. But I can't put up with sermons that are lies, that teach doctrines or lifestyles that, if believed or followed, will take people on the road to destruction. At that point, the gentle pastor will become a roaring lion. Thirdly, gentleness should be shown to all. Paul wrote to Titus, always be gentle toward everyone. It's not very PC today to describe an audience as ladies and gentlemen, but I still like it. This week I Googled gentlemen. What's a gentleman? It said, a gentleman is courteous, polite, and respectful. He says please and thank you. Waits his turn in line and treats others as they wish to be treated. He is an equitable conversation partner and displays good table manners and dining etiquette. I think that's largely Christian. But I'm not, maybe not the table manners and dining etiquette, but that's largely Christian. Then it asks the question, do girls like gentlemen? Now, if you're single here this morning, listen up. Quote, gentlemen make their women feel special. Everyone likes to feel special, especially women. Well, I think everyone likes to feel special because they are special, made in the image of God, loved by God. So the gentle person makes you feel special. One of the nicest things you can say about a person is that when you're talking with them in a room of people, it's like you're the only person in the room. I remember years ago at a meeting with people, I was talking to a guy, his name was Martin. I've never forgotten it. We began a conversation, and from the moment we began, his eyes scanned the room for someone more, well, interesting or famous to talk to than me. And he said, end of the conversation. I don't think that was very gentlemanly. Now, like Jesus, I want to be gentle with each and every person I meet and treat them with respect and kindness. Like when he met a woman at a well who'd been married 5 times. Like when he met a blind beggar called Bartimaeus, who the crowds tried to shut up when he called out to Jesus. Like when he met small children who they tried to drive away when their parents brought them to Jesus to bless them. Like when he met a dying thief on a cross and promised him rest for his soul forever in paradise. How would you like someone to describe you in one word? How would you describe yourself in one word? If they could put on your tombstone one word to describe you, what would you like it to be? In loving memory of Michael Rater, a gentle man. I settled for that. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that you'll fill us, each one here today, with the spirit of gentleness, that we might love what you love and hate what you hate, that we might treat people as those loved by you and made in your image, with kindness and respect, for their salvation and for your glory. Amen.